Well, as I said, we are starting a new series this morning called Road Signs. And this morning's message is about learning to read the road signs. It would have been kind of cool to have some road signs up here, you know, some those big orange or yellow diamonds, you know, or stop signs or whatever. I know I've seen them in people's bedrooms. I've often wondered, how do they get those? Should I be reporting them? But anyway, that's what we're going to be talking about. And this will carry us through for a number of weeks. Next Sunday, Pastor John will be preaching. And the reason that he's going to be preaching is because I'm slated to go in for another angiogram on Friday. About a week and a half ago, they gave me another stress test. And I guess they didn't like what they saw. So I thought I was free and clear, but I guess not. So I don't know what kind of shape I'm going to be in on Sunday. So Jonathan will be preaching next Sunday, carrying on in the series. But you know, when we go down the roads and the highways of the countryside, wherever it is, it always amazes me how roads are laid out. Sometimes they look kind of helter-skelter, like they just kind of happen that way. Other times it looks like they were planned with some kind of purpose. But obviously roads and highways are so that people can move from one place to another. That's what they're for. Remember a number of years ago going up to the restaurant in the CN Tower with some friends. Shelley and I were there one evening. And it was fascinating. Of course, it's a revolving restaurant. And you get the whole panoramic view of the city, but just as it came around so we could look down and see the Gardiner Expressway, and I remember looking down and seeing all those cars moving back and forth, going down the off-ramps and coming up the on-ramps and just moving so smoothly and with so much order. Steady stream, all moving in organized fashion. And the people were able to do that in those cars because there were signs that guided them. Told them which exits to get off in order to get onto certain streets that they wanted to connect to. So it's important to have good signs on the road. You know, we're all going somewhere in life and we all travel on the highways. It's important to have good signs. It's also important to obey those signs in order to get where you want to go. And I know GPS now makes it so that we don't have to follow those signs maybe so carefully, but if it says turn right on Black Street, you better have a sign there to show you where Black Street is. But in order to obey those road signs that we travel on, or that we see on the highways, we need to learn how to read them. And we need to learn what they mean, because they're not words, they're just symbols a lot of times. Unless you're driving in Abuja, Nigeria, and we're driving down the highway there, and heading off trying to find the exit to the highway, or to the airport, and there's this great big sign, for airport, take next exit after the right turn, then go left on this side, like a whole paragraph on this sign, like whoom, past it. Do you see what that sign said? I didn't see what that sign said. But fortunately, we have symbols that we know how to read, and we learn how to read those. In fact, you're tested on them on your driver's test. Certain signs are shown in your test, and you have to know what they are in order to get past your test. Well, in life, of course, it's the same kind of thing. Everybody's going somewhere in life. Everybody has some direction that they're heading in. Everybody has goals and plans and hopes for the future, and we want to be moving forward in our lives. And as Christians, we want to travel the road of life in a way that pleases the Lord. And so we need to understand what the signs are so that we can travel down this road in a way that pleases our Lord. Now, there are many roads in life, and we're going to look at this series in this context, that, you know, we travel the road of faith, and that's the road that Pastor John is going to be talking about next week. That's an important road for the Christian to travel. We also travel the road of family. We travel the road of relationships. We travel the road of finances. We travel the road of work. There are all kinds of things in our lives, all kinds of roads we travel. And we want to travel those roads in a good way to be able to arrive at a good destination And in order to do that, we need to follow the signs. Learn what the signs are from God's word, and then follow them in a way that will get us to where we want to go. And the good news is, of course, that God has given us road signs to help us safely navigate each of these roads that we need to travel down. And as I said, it's up to us to learn what those road signs are. And that's what this series is all about. The first thing about driving, remember, you think back to the days when you were ready to start driving. First thing about driving is that there are certain ground rules that you need to understand. And certain, you know, we just call it, you know, basic understanding of things that we need to know. And I remember the first time my dad gave me the keys to the car. It was a big black 60 Buick. You know that one that had the fins that went out like this, and the front headlights. The 59 had the slanted headlights. This one had the level headlights, but the fins and the front and the back. All of our friends called the car the Batmobile. That's what it looked like. And my dad gave me a little lecture, you know, about the fact that I'm now giving you keys to 1 ton of steel, and it's got lots of horsepower underneath the engine. Dad always bought big cars, big Buicks, you know, with 350s and Meteors with 390s and big engines. He said, you know, it takes premium gas. Make sure that when you fill it up, you're going to drive this car, you're going to use my gas, you're going to fill it up. It takes premium. Stay out of certain parts of town. You know, there's certain little ground rules that the parent gives in advance to make sure that the child knows what's going on and drives appropriately. And in Ephesians here in chapter 5, Paul kind of lays down some ground rules for us. And very important one, very important principle is laid down here in chapter 5, verse 8, when he says this, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." This is Paul's ground rule. Very basic, you know, general ground rule, where he says that once upon a time you were this, but now you are this. That means that you need to live in a way that is consistent with your new calling in life. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live that way. Christians, as you travel the road of life, you need to recognize that you are going to be different from the world around you. You have been called out of that world into a new realm, a realm of spiritual light and understanding in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't travel down the road of life the same way that others do. We have different values. We don't speak the same sometimes. It's interesting how society is trying to shift the meanings of so many words, marriage being a big one. All of a sudden, marriage, it means so many things, it doesn't mean anything. And how this, even the way that we speak, the terms that we use are different. We don't pursue the same goals as people in the world. And we get our direction, this is a big one, we get our direction from a different source. We follow different road signs than the general population. You know, we hear things that people say, well, you know, you got to make sure you take care of number one, you know. You're important, your priorities, and so on and so forth. And that's true, but to a degree, we need to understand that the Bible tells us that we are to be a servant of all. Jesus says you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of everyone. The world says, well, you know, do your sexual explorations and experimentations. Just practice safe sex. Jesus says, no. He says you're supposed to wait for that one committed relationship. And that's when you are allowed to engage in that activity. The world says, you know, if you got different relationships or difficult relationships with people, or if things aren't working out in a relationship, just walk away. God's word says no, we are to seek peace and reconciliation. We're to try to work things out with one another to maintain peace and unity. And Paul says, you know, we once lived like the world. This is what he says in this verse here. You once lived like that, but not anymore. And so we're to live in a different way. The other principle I think here is that we don't judge non-Christians for not living the way we are called to live. Because we are called to live a different way. As simple as that. Now, if people look at this way that we're living and they say, that's a good way to live, I like that, then we can encourage them to come to know the Lord and live the same way. But understand that this ground rule that we've been called to be different. Now, when we look at that ground rule, there are certain things that we need to do. We need to do some homework about that. It means that, you know, we're going to have to do some thinking and studying to try and figure out what it means to live as a child of light. It just doesn't come naturally to us. Okay, many times it's against our nature to do certain things and to live in the way that God wants us to, but it's important for us to find this out. And so in Ephesians 5:10, Paul says this, and find out what pleases the Lord. That means you've got some work to do. You've got some finding out to do. And so be ready for that. There are decisions to be made, and they are not just about what you want. We want to live in a way that pleases the Lord, as it says in this passage. Certain things in the Bible we are told to stay away from. Certain things are supposed to characterize our words and our lives. Things like honesty and kindness and sincerity and purity. But we are to find out what pleases the Lord. You know, when you're in a relationship with somebody, you find out what pleases that person. And you try to do the things that please that individual. And that's what we want to do in our relationship with the Lord. And the opposite of that is to stay away from evil. We can't be finding out what pleases God if we are engaging in evil and having our minds continually influenced and drawn aside and drawn away in those things. Again, the ground rule states that the Christians are different from the world. We need to try and please the Lord. That means to stay away from evil. In chapter 5, verse 11, we read this. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Stay away from them. Point them out as being evil and being wrong, but don't engage in those things. Have nothing to do with those things. Stay as far away as possible. You know, we are to stay, again and again in Scripture, we're told, stay away from sin, flee from certain things, run away from certain things, put to death certain things and certain attitudes in our life. Sin is something, evil is something that we are to stay as far away from as possible. And yet so many times we try to see how close we can come to the edge before actually falling off. Story of a wealthy man who needed to hire a new limousine driver, and he took them to his estate that looked over the ocean there, and there at the end of his property there was a cliff down to the rocks below, and the blue sea was down there. And he said, he took his limousine applicants out there and said to the first one, now if I was to give you the keys to my car, how close do you think you could drive to this cliff, to the edge of this cliff, along the edge of this cliff here? The guy said, I think I might be able to do 20 feet. I said, okay, that's pretty good. And the next guy came and he said, I think I could probably drive comfortably within 10 feet of the edge. And the third applicant came and he said, how about you? And he said, well, he said, sir, I would want to stay as far away from the edge of that cliff as I possibly could. He's the one that got the job. And you know, in our own lives, it's the same thing. What is this attraction that we have for trying to get as close as we can to the edge without falling over? We need to stay away from those things, because the edge is danger. As I said, there's some Christians who try to see how close they can come to evil without actually going over the edge and sinning. And so, you know, with our relationships with the opposite sex, or are such that they say, well, you know, as long as we don't actually do it, you know, then I'm okay. Perhaps in drinking of alcohol, well, you know, as long as I don't get totally wasted or drunk, I guess I'm okay. Taking advantage of your boss at work, well, you know, as long as I don't actually steal anything from him, I'm okay. Really? Is that our attitude? To see how close we can get before we actually do something wrong? No, the Bible says stay away from those things. Don't be hanging around the edges of what you know is evil and what you know is wrong. Now, as we think about the signs along the way, and think about signs on the highway as well, you know, some signs are discretionary. As you're driving down the road, and maybe should have put up some images of this, but you've all seen them. You're driving, you see the yellow diamond sign, and there's a curvy line like this with an arrow at the top. And you know that it's telling you that up ahead there are some dangerous curves. Now, you don't see too many of those signs in Manitoba, maybe. Everything's straight and flat here. But other signs, you know, you might be driving along and you see a sign with a little bump symbol. You know, there's a bump up ahead. Or a sign that says slippery when wet. It's warning you of something. It's giving you advance notice of something that's up ahead. They're not giving you specific instructions, but they're letting you know of a situation up ahead, and we're supposed to take appropriate action as a result of that. Now, if, you know, one guy sees that squirvy little line telling about curves up ahead, if he's driving a Porsche Boxster, he might be able to handle those curves a little bit faster than the guy who's driving the great big loaded gravel truck, okay? Or when I see a sign that's got a bump on the road ahead, I'm going to slow down a little bit more if my trunk is loaded up with, you know, 2x4s and building material and all the rest than if my car is light. There's discretion involved in some things, and we need to understand that. In Ephesians 5:15, Paul says this, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise." We need to make wise decisions in life. And a wise decision may not always be the same in every situation. There's wisdom, there's discretion that is called for. We need to be careful. We can act wisely or unwisely. Now, sometimes the only way to gain this wisdom is to have an experience where we acted unwisely and made a mistake and got into all kinds of trouble. Now we've got some wisdom. Now we know better, you know, the next time that same situation comes up. But you know, another way, a very good way of gaining wisdom is to learn from other people. You know, and this is where the interaction of the body of Christ comes in, where we need to be watching out for each other and we need to be open to receive words of advice and instruction from one another. Because if I see you doing something that I know I've done before and that can end badly, I'm responsible to tell you about that. Look, I tried that and that doesn't work. Or if you do that, be very careful about this. You know, just be aware. We need to learn from each other in these things. One person has said, learn from others because you don't have enough time to make all the same mistakes. That's pretty good advice. Learn from each other. You don't have time to make all the same mistakes. But in learning and in practicing wisdom, the best source of wisdom is the Word of God. The best source of wisdom is the Bible. And we need to be spending time in this and drawing instruction and knowledge out of God's Word as we move forward. So, some signs are discretionary, and they encourage us to make wise choices, as I have just indicated. And we have that here for us in verse 16. Paul says, here's some wisdom at work, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. There's evil all around us. There are evil influences. There are, you know, that we see evil happening. We need to make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil and the days are short. You know, we don't have a lot of time. You can't, the person who sits back and says, who keeps on putting off his retirement planning, let's say, who keeps on putting off saving for retirement, That I'll do the RSP next year. Next year comes, I'll do it the year after that. I don't have enough money this year. I'll do it again. The person who keeps on doing that is all of a sudden going to find himself short of time at the end. He hasn't made the most of the opportunities that he had up until that time to make the decisions and to do the things that he should have done. So this principle here of making the most of every opportunity is very practical and very good for us to take to heart. Make wise choices. Many times, though, the unwise choice looks so much more fun, doesn't it? And you know what? The Bible recognizes that. The Bible says that there's pleasure in sin, but it only lasts for a little while. And in the end, it will bite you like an adder and sting you like a snake, and you'll be the worse off for it. Make wise decisions. The opposite of that is don't be foolish. When I think of this, don't be foolish, Paul says it very clearly here in verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Again, there's this idea of understanding, of finding out, of trying to discover what God's will is for our lives. We find God's will out for our lives many different ways. Read His Word, pray about it, ask for wisdom from the Holy Spirit, talk to other people who have been through the situation so that they can give us advice. We need to understand what the Lord's will is and understand, as it says earlier, what makes Him happy, understand what pleases the Lord. So there are, you know, some of those discretionary signs are in there. But some signs are mandatory. I mean, there are some signs out there you dare not do what the sign says that you're supposed to do. For example, a stop sign. That stop sign is there for a reason, and you better stop. You might be approaching a busy street, whatever it is, a cross street. Stop sign says stop, you need to obey that. No right turn sign, you got to obey that. A speed sign, you better obey that, or you get into trouble. Ephesians 5:18, the first part of that verse says this: do not get drunk on wine. That's a very mandatory road sign in the Christian life, isn't it? You can't say it much plainer than that. Do not get drunk on wine. You know, drinking is one of those areas of Christian liberty. Some people don't drink any alcohol whatsoever. Other people, they will have a glass of wine with a meal, maybe a little bit of alcohol on certain occasions. Drinking is an area of Christian liberty. It's an area where we need wisdom. It's an area where we need discernment. But the Bible lays out very clearly in this verse that drunkenness is a sin. If we go back to the beginning where I said that we have some ground rules, and the one ground rule, the main ground rule, is that we are now children of light. We are not to live as others in the world. This is one of the areas where we are to be identified as different from the world. See, what does the world say about drinking? Drink responsibly, right? What's responsible? You know, so I think I can handle four or five drinks, and after I get up there, maybe after when I get to the fourth or fifth drink, I don't care what responsibility is anymore. And what's responsible? Does responsible mean I can get totally sloshed as long as I have somebody else drive me home? Is that responsible? The Bible says very clearly that drunkenness is a sin. We are not to be drunk with wine. There are clear prohibitions, and it can keep us out of a lot of trouble. You know, when you think of drunkenness, there's a lot of trouble associated with drunkenness, isn't there? A lot of relationships are destroyed because of drunkenness. A lot of crime is committed because of drunkenness. A lot of accidents on the road, crashes happen because of drunkenness. We've heard lots of those stories. You know what I've never heard? I've never heard somebody say, well, you know what, I was having real problems with the relationships in my family, just couldn't get along with anybody, so I started getting drunk and everything was great after that. I've never heard that story. Or I've never heard, you know, I've been having problems at work and things, you know, I haven't been able to work so well, so I started coming into work drunk and everything, you know, everything's been better since then. I've never heard that kind of story. And the Bible very clearly here sets a limit, an absolute limit, when it comes to the use and the indulgence of alcohol, and it is drunkenness. Paul's point here is that he's asking, and he's trying to make the point of who or what is it that you are being influenced by? And then at the end of that verse, he says, you know, rather than being drunk with wine, that it takes over your mind and your body and your systems and everything, rather than being drunk and under the influence of alcohol, he says, we are to seek what is good. Instead, he says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God is the gift that God gives into the heart of every individual who has turned his life over to Jesus Christ, who has received Jesus as his Savior. The gift of the Holy Spirit is God living in us. And you want to know how to learn what the will of God is, as some of those earlier verses said, you know, in verse 10, find out what pleases the Lord. And verse 17, it talks about understanding what the Lord's will is. You want to know the best way of doing that is to listen to the Holy Spirit inside of you. Now, here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, you know, when we come to the Lord Jesus and we recognize that he died for our sin and that if we repent of our sin, that he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness and he will give us eternal life and we are saved. And then he puts the Holy Spirit in our hearts to guide us throughout that life of salvation and the life that he wants us to live. The thing about the Holy Spirit is this, that he's not going to yell at you. He's not going to stand there when you're starting to head off into danger. He's not going to go, whoa, stop, don't do that, don't do that. You know how the Holy Spirit speaks? It's more kind of like, watch it. That's how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And what we need to do is learn how to listen to that. Learn how to listen to what he's saying to us. And then as we draw back, as he does, he gives us that little probe of conviction of what we're doing. And we draw back and we think about it a little bit more. Say, okay, Holy Spirit, I know that you're trying to tell me that this is wrong. What is it that you want me to do? And then we get that instruction from God's word. And you know, I love the outflow of all this. Paul ends off by just talking about all the good, because of the good influence that we can have in our lives from the Holy Spirit, we can have a good and positive outflow from our lives. He says in verses 19 and 20, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a positive lifestyle. It's a positive attitude. It's an attitude that encourages other people and builds them up because we are following God's will. We've discerned what God's will is, and we're able to follow that and live by it. We know that we're in proper relationship with him. We can be in a proper relationship with others as well. Well, as I said, as we go through this series, we're going to be talking about some very specific situations and specific roads that we travel through life and looking at specific road signs that God has put in place for us to follow to be all that he wants us to be. Rick, come on up and lead us in our closing song. You know, as I've been talking here about these things, though, I'm sure that there are some of you that are thinking, well, I know already that there are certain areas in your life that you need God's help. And maybe you've been struggling with something and you just need to know what the will of God is in that area. Maybe you've got some decisions to make and you want to make those decisions in a right and proper way. And so you want to know what God's will is so that you can please him. Maybe you've been ignoring the words, the direction of the Holy Spirit, and you need to come back to him. That's what this next song is talking about. It just simply is entitled, Lord, I Need You. And as we sing this song, I would encourage you that if there's anything in your life now that you're thinking, yeah, you know, I need God's guidance and God's will to direct me in these areas. If you would like to receive prayer for anything that you're wondering about today, I invite you to come while we sing this song. There will be people up here to pray for you and guide you through that time. Let's stand together as we sing and close our service together.